The Academy Awards will be presented 2 weeks from tonight. Last week, we began our annual run-up to the ceremony by listening to some of the film music nominated in the Best Original Score category. Guiding us through the nominees is NPR's Andy Trudeau. Welcome back to round two, Andy.
Round two, Leanne.
In case you weren't taking notes last week, here's the list of the five nominated composers and scores. Tan Dun for Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Ennio Morricone for Malena. Rachel Portman for Chocolat, John Williams for The Patriot, and Hans Zimmer for Gladiator. Last week, the emphasis was on action with Crouching Tiger and Gladiator, and Andy, you promised that things were going to be a little bit more peaceful this week.
That's right. We have some less epic dramas to listen to on this this session. Rachel Portman, we have talked about her last year. You'll remember Cider House Rules.
Mm-hmm.
And then I noted that a couple of things. One was she had won an Oscar before, back when they had split the music categories. She had won in, a comedy musical category for a film called Emma. She's English. There were three quotes I had discovered about her last year. And I was amazed listening this year to the score to Chocolat that they still had merit. That is, she said she likes to communicate ideas through simple melodies. She likes to run a main thematic idea through the picture, and the one I like the most, she never writes a cue that's entirely happy.
Right, I remember that from last year.
This is a lovely score. It is delicate. It is very carefully wrought. It is most often chamber music-like in its transparency. I found three themes that I think give shape to the score. In this first one, you'll hear it in the flute. What I like about the orchestration is listen to the way it's doubled, that is, a piano is playing along with it, but only on certain notes. It makes a very nice effect. This is almost a cliche for this kind of sunshine, dawn-breaking mood. But listen to the flute and then listen to the piano underneath it. Here, just on certain notes, they're doubling. Now, I'll let you tell me if this is a happy cue or not.
Not entirely.
Not entirely. Now, there are two more themes that run through this score. She doesn't give it as any sort of characterization, but this one I was trying to find a word, and I thought the word pensive worked here. I want to note that she does most of her orchestrations. It is unusual. Most Hollywood composers nowadays have other people do that part of the work. And in fact, Gladiator, which we talked about last week, had six orchestrators. I think it would be hard to figure out who actually wrote what where on that kind of a score. She does share the credit on this with another individual, but it's clear that she does a lot of the work herself. This cue has a very, it's not a dance-like rhythm, but it has a dance-like feel. You'll hear it in the oboe. Listen to the transparency of the orchestration. There are very nice touches like that throughout this score. The texture is simple, it's clean. This third theme, there's no doubt about it. This is a dance motif. It's got a folk flavor to it. This is what I like that I think gives distinctiveness to quality composers. When you listen to this, listen to the violin line, and I just love the way she adds these little notes that she gives over to a pipe, a panpipe type of sound. It's a wonderful effect. There's the dance.
Yeah, definitely.
Listen to the pipes.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a nice effect. You'll hear it at the end of the phrase again. This score is filled with these kinds of real signs of someone's taken their time, thought a lot about what they wanted to do, is writing with economy of means, which I really like, especially after Gladiator of last week. And there's just a wonderful sense of restraint here. Now, I don't want to give the sense that this is entirely a chamber music score. There is one section where you'll hear she reaches for a big orchestral effect, but even then, it's done with restraint. And you'll also get a sense she uses the second of the three themes we heard, and you'll hear how those themes are used by composers to hold the piece together. So this is one of the big orchestral sounds from this score. There it is in the strings. But you can hear all the different lines. This lens just clears. It's a wonderful effect.
We've been listening to music by Rachel Portman for the movie Chocolat. The film features Juliette Binoche, Judi Dench, Johnny Depp, and Leslie Caron, and is directed by Lasse Hallström. It's one of five soundtracks nominated for this year's Oscar as Best Original Score. Also on that list is music for the film Malena by a legend. I mean, this is the only word to use to describe this man, Ennio Morricone.
When I was researching this, I came across three or four biographies, and one thing none of them could agree upon is how many film scores this man has actually done.
Lots and lots.
I have seen numbers as high as 400.
Really?
And if you realize that he started writing in the early 1960s, he's probably averaging 10 a year, which is an incredible number of scores. It's like the tip of the iceberg in that most of them are done in Italy. We really don't hear them a lot often over here. He was actually been nominated several times for Oscars. I read somewhere also that he only has been to this country twice. Once was for an Oscar ceremony, and the other was for an award he got. He makes his career over there. He teaches at a conservatory. I think most of our listeners will immediately connect him with that era of the spaghetti western. He really identified and made that sound, which was then very widely used throughout all those films. There were other sides to him that came out in those scores, which I think were often overlooked because people were focusing on the really quirky parts of it. There is a breezy ballad side to him. He can write, turn these things off very easily. I was trying to figure, what is it that keeps this guy going? He really has a bag of tricks that he reaches into, and it's a fairly small bag of tricks, but he's very clever with what he does. One thing I like is that he'll double instruments. Usually when you double instruments, you're doing it because you want to accentuate the sound of one of the two of them. Mm-hmm. He does it to blend them to make a new sound that's going to make you say, what the heck is that? In the main title to this score, we'll start, you'll hear a little string rhythm. Then you're going to hear there's a brass instrument in there and there's a slightly off-tune piano. Mm. And they're doubled together to make the melody. He'll then repeat it in lower instruments, again, doubling to blend them so they merge. And then we'll repeat the sequence again. So here's a theme from this score.
Hauntingly familiar, and yet.
Yet, how does he do it? And here it comes again. Now listen carefully. So it has that breezy sort of charm, but he's coloring the instruments. He's not doing anything especially musical in the sense of form or structure or pushing the instruments. He's just blending them in an interesting way. There was another side to him that I liked too, and it would show up in the middle of these spaghetti westerns, because these films are both violent and in a way philosophical. He has an ability to score what I call pure melancholy. He will create a theme that will just make you feel so alone. Mm. One trick he uses in a lot of scores is he'll set this motif, this poignant motif, in a solo instrument. He'll then add an orchestra, but the net result is that it always, to me, makes it seem even more lonely. And then he'll pull it all away. And in this case, he pulls it away, gives it to an instrument in a very odd register that, again, makes you wonder, what is that sound? This is the melancholy Morricone from this score. violin takes the melody. Pure plaintiveness. The orchestra is going to come in and it's going to amplify the feeling of sadness. And then he'll hand off to that strange solo instrument. You'll find sequences like this in the middle of those spaghetti westerns. This was really a side of this composer. It wasn't reserved just for this type of film. Morricone is very much a composer who has gone his own way, has created a sound that is so distinctive. It allows me to use a cliche, that is, he is often imitated but never equaled. And there's a panache there. There is a sense that he can pull off anything he wants to. He has a cut on this. Other composers do it, called Bolero. Take a listen. I swear he just takes the rhythm from Ravel's famous piece, sets it in a different instrument, puts the flute in a different sound, and he's got a Morricone piece. You almost expect Ravel's Bolero to roll in right now, but it doesn't. It's Morricone's Bolero.
We've been talking about music by Ennio Morricone from Malena, a film directed by Giuseppe Tornatore. It's one of five soundtracks nominated this year in the category of Best Original Score. Before that, we heard selections from Rachel Portman's nominated music from Chocolat. Four down, Andy. We only have one left.
And we should put out an extra chair because he's been with us every year.
Every year.
John Williams for The Patriot.
Andy Trudeau is executive producer for NPR Cultural Programming. Thanks a lot, Andy. See you next week.
Next week.